with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. This is Head On. I am, last I checked, Bob Kincaid. My lovely wife Agnes is at the controls. You know, some nights, that board just looks so much like Scotty's transporter, I wonder if I'm just going to disappear out of the seat. Sometimes I think she'd like for me to. So, Tuesday, and welcome, by the way, to folks listening live who may have caught this afternoon's inaugural weekday repeat of Head On over at radiopower.org. We run from 3 to 6 p.m. One-day delay, or a little less than one day, at radiopower.org. And thanks for those of you who have started contacting me via that site. Really appreciate being on there. So, today, big, stinking, ugly, nasty day in the Senate. We're Americans. We're fairly accustomed to sleaze when it comes to watching our elected representatives. Oh, my God, they're my representatives. You know, we're not exactly surprised anymore. We're, you know, what's the Pink Floyd song? Comfortably Numb? But still, today was just it was a new level of sleazy nastiness. And that new level was achieved by none other than the president pro tempore. And, by the way, in line for the succession to the presidency upon impeachment, Ted Stevens. Yeah, you did know that. That's the scene. Throughout the liberal talkosphere, or whatever you want to call it, there has been a general debate today about impeachment, and channeled and fueled in large part by a new website, new group, created through the good offices of afterdowningstreet.org. What is it? censurenow.org. Because, among other things, John Conyers, that great and admirable man, Democrat from Michigan, came out and said that, you know, he wants to censure George W. Bush. My general thought on that is, nah, take a pass. If we're not going to impeach him, there's no sense calling him up to the front of the room to let the nun slap him on the wrist with the ruler. Not to mention the fact that there are some folks who would say that a censure would foreclose any issue of impeachment by virtue of res judicata. That's creepy. But it ignited a conversation on message boards across the fruited plain about censure versus impeachment. We all want him impeached, but slow down. For God's sake, slow down. Don't kid yourself about the nature of this impeachment issue, because, among other things, look, Greek mythology, people. Hear my papers? Boy, I'm loaded for bear tonight. Greek mythology people who are familiar with Greek mythology. Hydra, the Hydra, as fought by Hercules? Was it Hercules, dear? Hydra? We're dealing with a Hydra here. We are dealing with a multi-headed monster. I want to impeach Bush. By God, I do too. Well, somebody fought the Hydra, and it was an ugly little fight. I want to impeach George Bush. I want to work on the committee that draws the... Yeah. I mean, I'll do anything to help. You know, bake sale? Sure. Gotcha. Down with it. Make a mean cheesecake. So, that's not the issue. The issue is, and it's borne out. I talked a little bit last night about my senator, Jay Rockefeller, and his involvement in this process. And what you have to really stop and think, there's no sense impeaching George Bush if what you get is President Cheney. Yeah, I know he's been President Cheney all along. But there's no sense in impeaching Bush if you get Cheney. You got to get them both, and their dirty little fingerprints are all over, both of them, all over this entire process. So you got to get Bush. You got to get Cheney. Now, succession upon impeachment. Who's next? Speaker of the House of Representatives, Denny Hastert. Well, Denny has his own problems right now with the Jack Abramoff problem. Can you do that to Abram? So, you know, maybe he'll be incorrigible to get out of the way. That's when you get down to President Stevens. I mean, really, you know, get the Pepto-Bismol, get the anti-emetics at President Ted Stevens. Oh, my God. That's just yucky. So, I mean, you see what I mean about the Hydra. I mean, you just keep lopping them off, and there's another one and two to replace it. And so it points out the absolute dire necessity of taking back both the House of Representatives and the Senate. I mean, I'm not a pessimist, okay? I'm as optimistic as they come. I am not a pessimist, but we got to realize... You know, you get rid of Bush, you get Cheney. You get rid of Cheney, you get Hastert. You get rid of Hastert, you get Stevens. And man, it is sleaze all the way down unless we retake the Congress. Okay? You retake the Congress, and then you can start talking about President Pelosi, which I could live with as a caretaker president. Jason fought the Hydra. Thank you. Thank you, Jim. I knew it was one of those old Greek dudes. See, that's what I get for taking my kids to the Disney movies. That was in the Hercules movie, and that was my last point of reference. You know, in the years in which we've been having children, my wife and I's brains turned into oatmeal. You know that. But seriously, if we're one, reality check. Republicans are Republicans are Republicans are Republicans. You know, it's that whole the Gertrude Stein thing. A rose is a rose is a rose is a rose. Well, the same thing applies to poop. Poop is poop is poop is poop. Republicans are Republicans are Republicans are Republicans are Republicans. And they are not. If you could prove, if you had video... Unretouched, if you had video of George W. Bush shooting, committing mass murder, if he was in the bell tower in the clown suit, and you had telescopic lens footage of him up there with the 30-06, you're like, Mommy, Daddy, oh, it's your fault, bam! I don't care. The Republican House of Representatives would not institute impeachment proceedings. Honest to God, if he stripped naked and ran down Pennsylvania Avenue screaming that the Martians were after him, they would not impeach him for being insane. They would say that that it was a metaphor for the dire need of America to pay attention to its national security issues. And I can damn well prove it. Okay? I don't just say things. I can back it up. I can prove it. So let's take a break and come back. Your phone calls are always welcome. 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. You can also reach us, Bob, at headonradio.com. Ain't it easy? This is Head On, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you, and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Sticking around. 19 minutes past the hour on this Tuesday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And for folks who are new to the program, I'll explain something real quick. I will run my mouth from time to time, and I will do it ex cathedra and at length. However, my first and foremost concern is the listeners and those who also want to share in the program. So I'll go to the phone whenever I've got an opportunity to, because I like talking to folks and because I'm cheap. And the longer folks sit on hold, the more it costs me. Listen, this is liberal radio. No sugar coating, okay? This is just hard and brutal and honest, and that's how it is. And please, you know, I hope you can dig that. Let's get Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Good evening. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Well, I happened to catch up on something today that I haven't seen since I used to take walks in Rock Creek Park.
Yeah?
And that was, well, two people very much involved, in flagrante delicto.
That's Latin for bed, isn't it?
No, but they were, and I just coughed discreetly and went on. They didn't even notice me.
Now, see, if you'd been a right-wing Republican fundamentalist, you would have stopped and chastised them and told them.
No, not me. As a matter of fact, I think that's on my family's coat of arms, in flagrante delicto.
What are they going to do with you?
I don't know, but there's two books I want to recommend.
Okay.
One is Confessions of a Failed Southern Woman, and the other is The Florence King Reader, and there's also a third, Southern Ladies and Gentlemen. I don't know, do you know Florence King?
No.
She is a writer of comparability in her own way to Molly Ibbins, except she basically tells the story of her own life, whereas Molly is more political.
Okay.
Now, Florence lives in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
All right.
And, of course, Molly Ibbins lives in Fort Worth. And I've called both of them on the telephone and told them how much I've enjoyed their work. But one excerpt from Florence King is, I may have slept with people of both sexes, but I never smoked in the street.
Well, at least she's got her priorities.
And, you know, I thought to myself, well, you know, you're right. There is a certain amount of prioritization there.
Sure.
And speaking of prioritization, you're right. You know, if we get rid of Bush, I mean, it's just going to be some other nasty who's going to emerge, like Cheney.
Well, unless, of course, we can retake the Congress in 06. And that gets even more complicated, Jim, because you got to take the House back. You got to have a majority there. But in order to throw this bum out on the street, you got to have two-thirds in the Senate. Now, that's darn near impossible, isn't
it? That would be a bit of a sticky wicket. Absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, right now, we're stuck with him until there can be a change in, you know, the legislative branch of the government. And so, you know, the more he gets on the air, the more he keeps running his mouth, the worse it gets.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he opens his mouth and bats fly out now.
I mean, he's basically trying to recover lost territory and, you know, that element of veracity that he wants. He never had any veracity, but he's trying to recover.
He had one syllable of it, though.
He's trying to recover the American people's confidence in him because he has so many people who were backing him. And now, since his numbers have declined and declined so seriously, well, you know, people, I think, this is just my opinion, they've just lost complete confidence in him and his ability to lead.
Well,
I mean, he's just severely damaged goods.
He is, and, I think he's mentally deficient to begin with, but, you know, that's me and I'm crazy and whatever.
I mean, well, you know, I can't even make a, you know, I can tell you what I personally think, but I could make a professional statement on that, but I wouldn't stake my fortune on his sanity, that's for sure, and I wouldn't let him be my financial advisor.
No, I wouldn't. Listen, I wouldn't let him sell used cars. But
no.
You know, but that's again, that's me. The problem here, though, is that we've got the so-called mainstream media, especially the Alphabet Soup channel, cable news channels, out there hollering that, you know, Bush is back. Boy, hasn't he gotten a bounce in the polls since he started coming out and being square and shooting straight with the people. That's how Bush always was. That's the Bush we remember and love. And it is enough to gag a freaking man.
Is that what ABC is saying?
No, it's what, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it on CNN. I've seen it on MSNBC. I have seen it on Fox.
I can imagine Fox. They say anything.
All MSNBC was bad about it. Oh, it was just awful,
which
Jim.
Which show was this?
It was just during an interview segment during the news. I mean, it wasn't Scarborough or anything like that. It was just, you know, some talking fool. And this guy's approval ratings have gone up a little bit, but it hasn't gone up beyond the margin of error.
What are they now?
Depending on who you see, anywhere from 41% to 47%, you know, and it's like, oh, he's at 47%, praise Jesus, you know, that still means 53% of the American people hate his freaking guts.
Well,
you know, that's a heck of a Pyrrhic victory when you're thrilled about being at 47. Do you remember the day Clinton was impeached, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Remember what his numbers were?
They were much higher than that.
What, 63, 72, something like that, percent?
Yeah, they were. And that was over just a peccadillo, really. And so, I mean, this is just, I don't know. But I'll tell you, this guy at the Senate, they've got a couple Senate Republicans now who have come along, and they want to know about some of the stuff that's going on. And then they want to know about this Oh, what is this thing? Clear Danger or what?
Able Danger.
Able Danger. Thank you. And that still hasn't been resolved.
That keeps hanging around. It does. It's not quite getting legs, but it hasn't gone away completely. The right wing spin machine has had its run at trying to turn that into Clinton's fault. It hasn't stuck. Now, have you watched any of the Senate proceedings today?
No, I didn't. I had to do some shopping and stuff like that, and I had to get some, organizational things done around here. I mean, like I say, this place is bad enough, and I had to get.
The gauntlets have been thrown down over the defense appropriations bill.
That's what I heard.
Ted Stevens has sleazed drilling in the ANWR into it. And the big showdown, well, it was said it could happen tonight, but now it looks like it's going to go down tomorrow morning. They've flown Dick Cheney back from Iraq.
Oh, you got to break the tie.
Yeah, in case there's a tie.
Well, they've got something else attached to that bill. That's drilling in Alaska, too.
Yeah, the ANWR, yeah.
Okay, ANWR. I'm not familiar with all these acronyms, and I've kind of lost touch with the alphabet.
They've got ANWR inserted in there, and they tried to throw a sop to Katrina victims, and they've attached the low-income heating assistance program. It was thoroughly debunked by Dick Durbin this afternoon on the floor. I've got that sound later tonight.
By the way, speaking of sound, you should have heard O'Brien this morning on his show talking to some guy. And he was just absolutely the rudest person I have ever heard in my life, Steve O'Brien. He was just absolutely rude, calling the guy crazy and idiot. I don't know how people tolerate that idiot.
Well, that's why he's heard in Beckley, and I've heard in Washington and Oregon and California and Texas and Pennsylvania and all over the world.
But, I mean, you wouldn't believe this guy. I mean, he has no manners, no moral compass whatsoever.
And well, you know the thing,
but
again, I gotta be honest. We're talking. I mean, we're talking about a guy that nobody even knows. He's a right for everybody else. He's a right wing weirdo freak, and he's what amazes me is that he's able to get on and do 3 hours of radio a day with no talent whatsoever. And that's the part I admire about him. It's like watching a kid who doesn't have a lot of skills trying to do something, trying to build a rocket.
Well, I mean, he has a Confederacy of dunces.
Precisely.
The same people who call him every day, like Jeff, who couldn't pour it out of a boot with directions
on the heel. Yeah, I know.
You've got R&R for a rude and retarded, and Dirty Bob. And then when the decent people try to call, he shouts them down.
They get screamed at. Hey, Jim, we got to get out of here. You have a great evening. All right.
You
take
too.
Care.
Bye.
And a quick break. We'll be back. This is Head On. You know me. I'm sorry. I mean, look. It's, this is our little Beckley enclave, and sometimes it's a little bit like, a family reunion.
It's a family squabble.
Exactly.
I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is on the tier. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's a thought that Peter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up.
I'm Bob Kincaid. Glad you could join us this evening. I wanted to let's stay with kind of where we were. The Senate thing this afternoon, and on it's going on still, as far as I know. Dick Durbin did an excellent job of pointing out what a fraud. And first of all, let's look. I'm more or less of a peacenik. I am a peacenik. Okay? Yeah. If that's a derogatory title, then that's a derogatory title that I will wear with pride. I don't believe in violence on any level of any form. I don't believe in attacking countries that haven't attacked you. I believe in trying to, and some of it's just common sense. If you've ever read Lao Tzu's The Art of War, he says, the optimum state is not to have war. Avoid war. War not good. War bad. Fire bad. That kind of thing. And so, that's where I am. But there is a defense appropriations bill making its way through the Senate, as we discussed. And this is the, body armor for the troops. Funding for the war that we're already in. We liberals, we progressives, we decent human beings have been painted as commies, pinkos, faggots, leftists, whatever, because we didn't want to start this war. I wanted to end ASAP. I'd like for it to have been over yesterday. But I also recognize that we have troops in the field, and I'm not going to ask them to go hungry. I'm not going to ask them to go without bullets. I'm not going to ask them to be utterly unable to defend themselves like the Bush administration has left them to do. So there's a defense appropriations bill making its way through the Senate. And in the course of trying to get that bill authorized, oh my God, Ted Stevens, ever look at this guy? He is the most hateful appearing human being that I think I have ever seen. And he, bear in mind, yeah, he's the senator, he's a senator from Alaska, but it's not like this was his little idea and it didn't have any help behind it. This gang has wanted to drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge for a decade or more now. And we all know, because I'm talking, you know, you guys aren't a bunch of ditto heads. I don't have to sit here and spoon feed you information. You're out there, you know, my email box is just bulges with the information that gets sent along. You guys, you sort stuff out, you figure things out, you read things, you share it with me. I appreciate it. So you know what ANWR is about. You know that there's not enough oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to run this country for six weeks at peak production? No, it's not there. This is an enrichment scheme. This is a scheme, this is for ExxonMobil. This is for the people, the fat cats who will get rich in the process. This has nothing to do with the amount of money you pay per gallon at the pump, sunshine. And it is a disgrace. God knows, if I was a member of the United States military and I saw what was going on with this bill, and I saw a bunch of sleazoid Republicans trying to enrich themselves at the expense of body armor and boots and armor for Humvees and armor for Bradley fighting vehicles, the things that they need every day, at the expense of the Veterans Administration's funding to take care of the ones who are already wounded and maimed and shell-shocked and what have you, I would be disgusted. But of course, you know, they get Rush Limbaugh for an hour a day on Armed Forces Radio. They don't get anybody that'll tell them about the shivs that are going into their backs day in and day out from these filthy, godless, motherless, soulless Republicans. Oh no, they get flush. And you and I get to pay for it. But in the end, Dick Durbin pointed out that just exactly what a rotten process this is.
There was a time when this bill was considered something special. A bill to appropriate money for our men and women in uniform and for our Department of Defense. It was the first priority in appropriations, the first passed, and the first to be signed by the president year after year after year. But this year, in order to accommodate the political agenda of some members of the Senate, it is the last bill, second last bill, that we will consider. And why did we wait so long? So that this bill could be a vehicle for a political agenda for the drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. To think that we would in any way jeopardize this bill for our men and women in uniform for this political deal at the close of the session, it's just something that the Senate cannot be proud of.
No, it can't. And again, it is a slap in the face to our men and women in uniform. Dick Cheney needs a little bit bigger drawdown on his deferred compensation from Halliburton. Because you know, okay, you know who's going to get the, drilling contract, don't you? Sure you do. To the phones. David is with us. Hey, David, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob. Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm clearing my throat as I offer a greeting. I'm sorry about the gargle and the frog and the, you know, whatever else was. Never mind the rest of it. Anyway, Stephen.
Ted Stevens.
Stephen, Senator Ted Stevens wanted oil rigs all over Alaska 30 years ago. If there was any projection, any sounding, and in the old days they used to dynamite their way across Alaska to find out where there might be oil. He has wanted rigs up there for 30 years, and it has been a thorn in his side that he couldn't screw up that wonderful wildlife area for over 25 years. And at the very heart of this, and you're real close to having it nailed, the real heart of this is Alaska is not in quite the same economic fairyland that they were 20 years ago.
No.
Where by simply living there, you got a check in the mail. What are we going to do with it this time? We're going to buy another station wagon, or should we take a trip to, you know, Cancun? Anyway, he wants another drilling deal. He wants another way to tap into that and skim for the citizens of Alaska, because they happen to be born there, skim for the holders of the contract, because he'll get some of it, and he wants to increase the never-ending power base that he thinks the rest of the world owes him. He wants a continuation of the economic fairyland that he created, simply so that he and his can continue to siphon money into their pockets while they throw small amounts of it back to the state of Alaska.
Is it fair for us to call him a welfare queen?
Well, I don't know if he wears skirts on Saturday night when all the lights are out, but, you know, he's a welfare something, king, queen, prince, whatever.
Well, that's the Alaska Statehood Act. The Alaska Statehood Act was... Pardon?
He doesn't care about the lower 48.
Oh, hell no. But the point here, the Alaska Statehood Act is what lets Alaska have that fairyland stuff you were talking about, you know, a check for being Alaskan, that kind of thing. And that being the case, you know, I want to go back and revisit the statehood of West Virginia, because I want a check for all the coal that's coming out of here.
Well,
but, you know, Alaska gets that, and I got nothing against Alaska, and I like Alaska. It's a beautiful place. I'd like for it to stay beautiful. I don't think, you know, it's Christmas, for God's sakes, and Ted Stevens is up there arguing for painting the reindeer in oil. You know,
the thing that could happen to Ted Stevens, as far as I'm concerned, is to let him, with his shirt off, stand outside without the aid of an insect repellent sometime in late April or early May. I would love to see them deal with that. They've got mosquitoes up there large enough to mount a turkey flat-footed.
they got mosquitoes the size of eagles.
Well, you bet they do.
But, well, you know, I sit around and I engage in my mean little fantasies, David, and I was thinking earlier today, with all this talk in the Senate about, you know, the precious Anwar oil that's not going to do us a damn bit of good, I was thinking, you know, I'd like to see Ted drink a glass of it.
Well,
you know, look, you know, he can mix it with his, you know, I don't care, bourbon, gin, vodka, whatever, mix it down, throw it on the rocks, have it with a sidecar, I don't care, but I want to see you drink some, Ted.
Well, as cold as it is, I'd like to see him mix it with a little antifreeze.
I thought that's what the vodka was.
Well, you mentioned antifreeze. I wasn't speaking about evil green antifreeze that would cause his kidneys to fail.
No.
But he doesn't care about the lower 48, and he's going to ruin an Arctic wilderness area that does matter, that does support life, that should be preserved. And you're right, it's less than 6 weeks total. Please, you right-wing listeners that are out there, please remember, we're talking about 4, 5, maybe 6 weeks total over the total lifespan of that oil field. What the heck good is that?
Well, and those estimations were made a year ago. You know, our consumption just goes up and up and up. It's probably down to 5 by now, David.
Exactly. But nobody wants to talk about, could we please stop making automobiles and trucks? Could we stop calling trucks? Could we stop calling SUVs that soccer moms could potentially only kick into four-wheel drive to jump the curb at McDonald's? You know, they get 8 miles a gallon. Could we please stop that? No, we can't stop that. We can just go kill thousands of reindeer and screw up a wonderful area that might give us a clue as to why the world works the way it does. But, oh, no. So there's no profit 50 years from now for an Armageddon-worshipping, right-wing, screwball, Bible-thumping head someplace where the sun doesn't shine Republican. There's no profit in knowing the world will be better in 50 years. Doesn't do a damn thing for their bank account or the minister that tells them the world's going to end in 6 months. No, they don't want to take 50 years down the road.
I want the money now.
They want the money now. And as far as for George, change the subject.
Yeah, go ahead.
Horace W., if I may, with his little PR campaign, and Condi with her little PR campaign, and even as clumsily and badly and as foolishly and as an intense amount of doublespeak as Rummy put out on National Public Radio this past week, he Bush in all of them, every single one of them. Bob, it is the most obvious form of doubling down, and it's all hinged on trust me. Oh, weapons of mass destruction, trust me. America be safer because we invaded the wrong country, trust me.
Oh, what's that?
We're not, well, torture. No, we don't torture. It's just aggressive questioning. Trust me. He's thrown this trust me thing. He has slapped us in the face with that so many times, and he's doing it again. There's not a new word. There's not a good thought. There's not a cogent idea in any of this. It's another form of trust me, and we have trusted him to the extent that more and more and more people, even his base, even the ones that buy his rhetoric, are trusting him with a thinner and thinner and thinner veneer. And it's doubling down in the most wonderful sense, because when the debt finally comes due, and it'll come due before the 06 election, the payback is going to be relentless, remorseless, and very, very exact.
Well, let's see. You're and I'm being facetious. Your buddy Bill Frist, he's up in 06, isn't he?
No, he's resigning. He's resigning to give his full attention and incredible moral vigor to the presidency and his ascension to it. Only problem is that even in a local paper above the fold, we can see that $500,000 left his charity trust fund.
For AIDS research?
Yeah, that one. $500,000 left his AIDS research, his wonderful little nonprofit, and it went to people connected solely to his political arm in this past Sunday's Tennessean.
I read that, and I did. Well, you know, why are we surprised?
No, I'm not.
AIDS research money. I think our buddy Peter sent me that story. AIDS research money from cardiac thoracic heart transplant surgeon Bill Frist, the man who can diagnose things on videotape.
Yes.
$500,000 to for AIDS research went to political hackery.
Exactly. Out of $4 million that 18 friends of his cycled through there for a massive tax write-off, 18 contributors put up the vast majority of the $4 million that the Frist Aid Fund had created. First of all, he's a Republican. Secondly, they don't want to even admit AIDS exists.
Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? Doesn't it, David? Where would a guy get an idea to set up a charitable PAC for something, or a charitable contribution organization, 501c3, tax exempt, tax deductible to the donors? Set one of those up with something that's really all nice and warm and fuzzy, like AIDS research. Set one of those up and then funnel the money out of it to political skullduggery. Where would a guy get an idea like that? Wait a minute.
Karl Rove.
Uh-uh.
Oh, wait a minute. Scanlon. Abramoff. Could it be?
Keep trying. Tom DeLay.
Cha-ching, we have a winner.
Yeah, because Tom DeLay set up a charitable contribution 501c3 for them little old foster cheerings in Texas. And he got money. Lord God, Billy Bob, he got so much money that the corporations was a-lining up to give money for them little old foster cheerings. And the next thing you know, it went into funding the redistricting of Texas. Wonder where in heaven's name would Bill Frist get an idea like that?
In the back room where they were trading 900 phone numbers, I suspect.
So, let's see, 1-900 spank me, I've been bad.
1-900, please don't start until we finish. Anyway.
Hey, David, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Oh, Bob, it's always a pleasure.
Have a good one.
See ya.
God, this is fun. Can you imagine that? Now, yeah, this is Bill the Cat Killer Frist. This is the guy who adopted cats while he was in medical school and gleefully played Dr. Mengele on them on his kitchen table. This guy sets up a... Oh, yeah, really, he did. It's all over. Set up a trust for AIDS research for the poor AIDS victims and then funneled the money into political Republican sleaze. Don't you love these people? Oh, and thank God they're on Jesus' side, huh? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Really enough, I want to go jumping in on the whole thing about that war on Christmas, but Representative...
You know what? I want to jump into it. I'm going to tell you why I want to jump into it.
Okay. Go, Bruce.
That's the biggest load of horse crap I've ever seen in my life. And the reason why... And the reason why it's the biggest load of horse crap is because, you know what? I mean, you know... If there was a war on Christmas, we would hear about it year-round. I mean, this is just crazy.
Hey, everybody, this is John Fox from 4th Estate Radio here. Speaking of Christmas, join us Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for our special festive 4thEstateRadio.com Christmas edition. We'll wrap up the week's events as usual and have a bit of extra fun. Find out all the details at 4thEstateRadio.com. That's 4thEstateRadio.com.
All right, a little bit of time before the top of the hour. We'll keep working the in the same direction that we have been. This is Head On. I'm Bob. How do you reach the program? 877, the number 4, Head On. 877-443-2366. If you need us to pay the freight, if you don't, if you're independently wealthy, if you got one of those highfalutin fancy calling plans, well, you can dial 304-658-3333. That sounded painful, dear. But at any rate, five before the hour, I mentioned my Senator Jay Rockefeller earlier. No sooner was I off the air last night after having wondered about what his involvement was then I read the story, and this is creepy stuff. I mean, this is Ken Follett novel stuff. Back in July 2003, Senator Rockefeller got a visit from Vice President Big Time Dick Cheney. And they briefed him on what they were doing in the way of spying on Americans, listening in on phone calls. And it apparently creeped Jay out something fierce. You know, because they told him, now listen, we're telling you this, but if you tell anybody else, we'll have to kill you. I mean, no, I don't know that that was necessarily what was said, but that was the... What do you... When it gets to... After the meeting, he sat down, got himself a pen and a couple of sheets of letterhead from his office. Senate letterhead. He couldn't type it. He couldn't put it on a word processor. He couldn't have one of his assistants do it for him. So he writes this letter in longhand. Not to George Bush, but to Big Time Dick. Dear Mr. Vice President, I am writing to reiterate my concerns regarding the sensitive intelligence issues we discussed today with the DCIDIRNSA, Chairman Roberts, and our House Intelligence Committee counterparts. And he goes on and he lays out how bothered he is by what he's heard in July 2003 about a program that's been going on since September 2001 in which the President of the United States actively began spying on American citizens without a warrant. Now, here's the creepy part. This, you know, it is what it is. Go and, you know, watch a spy thriller movie where the guy takes the sensitive information and mails it off to someone so that they'll have it if anything foul befalls him. That's this. Senator Rockefeller then took two more sheets of paper and copied out the very same letter word for word and noted in the letter, I am putting this in the secure spaces of the United States Senate. Because you know how these thugs operate. Well, Senator, if he'd come out and finally said something, well, Senator Rockefeller is clearly insane. All that money's just driven him nuts. But no, it was the truth. And you know what? You don't do that kind of thing unless you are in fear for your life. I mean, this is the plot material for a Tom Clancy novel. Let's take our top of the hour break, then we'll come back and have at it some more. Stick around. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite of the crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating.
which is very devastating, and the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Yes, it is. I'm him. Cuckoo-ca-choo. And you're welcome to join in any way you see fit. Email bob@headonradio.com. My lovely wife Agnes has her own email address. That's Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, @headonradio.com for her burgeoning legion of fans. And the phone numbers, of course, 877-443-2366. 304-658-3333. I do want to go right to the phones, but before I do, I want you to hear the language that Jay Rockefeller uses in this letter. Like I said, this is creepy, creepy stuff. If you parse it, he lays out exactly what the mindset was, and how these monstrous thugs in the White House were intending for their little plan to work. They figured if they just went ahead and did it and didn't tell anybody at all, that it would be their butts if they ever got caught. And this would provide them cover. Well, you know, we told congressional leaders and they didn't say anything. Well, on the day of the meeting, July 17th, 2003, Jay Rockefeller laid out exactly why it was that he could... given the security restrictions associated... Boy, he's got okay handwriting, but it's not the best in the world. Given the security restrictions associated with this information and my inability to consult staff or counsel on my own... See, this is how they operate. This is Jose Padilla stuff. This is, well, how many people have been, and Guantanamo, whatever, you know, their big kick is you can't have access to a lawyer. That's why they hate lawyers so much. Lawyers get in the way of totalitarianism. That line that everybody's so fond of in Shakespeare, where the conspirators say, the first thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers. Shakespeare puts that line in the mouth of an evil man. Because that's what you do. The first thing you do, you kill all the lawyers, or you kill off the legal system, and that way you can get away with whatever evil you care to do. Given the security restrictions associated with this information and my inability to consult staff or counsel on my own, I feel unable to fully evaluate, much less endorse, these activities. Now, a couple of nights ago, talking about this, I said, you know, this is Admiral Poindexter stuff. And it was before this story ever broke, and I had not seen this letter as of last night at the end of the show. Listen to this paragraph. As I reflected on the meeting today and the future we face, John Poindexter's TIA project sprang to mind. Total Information Awareness, remember that? They got caught on that one. This was where John Poindexter was going to spy on every American. Look, they did it anyway. You know, well, okay, you caught us, we're not going to do it, okay? They did it anyway. John Poindexter's TIA project sprang to mind, exacerbating my concern regarding the direction the administration is moving with regard to security, technology, and surveillance. You see, this is evil. God, I wish that 30 years ago there'd been somebody out there as jealous. Why couldn't he? See, there's your proof. I frequently say that, for instance, the National Rifle Association has nothing to do with gun ownership and even less to do with the protection of the Second Amendment. Because if the National Rifle Association was really an advocacy group for gun owners, they would be as jealous about the Fourth Amendment and always would have been as they were the Second. Because you know what? The Second is not worth a tinker's damn without the Fourth. And neither is the First. Oh, we've got, you know, and listen, I'm not, we've got people out there that are jealous guardians of the First Amendment, and I am a jealous advocate of the First Amendment. We've got jealous guardians of the Second Amendment. Oh, you know, the First Amendment. Oh, we got to be able to go to church when we need to go to church. Every time the door is open, I don't want government interference. I want to be able to go to church. Okay? And then there's the newspaper people. Well, we want to be able to print whatever we feel like printing, whether it's the truth or not. First Amendment. And then the Second Amendment, you got the NRA and every freak militia out there. Well, the Second Amendment is the cornerstone of the American Republic, bug spray. The cornerstone of the American Republic lies in the Fourth Amendment and the right of all persons. Where is it? Where is it? Here it is. Yeah, I've kept it handy. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. That is what George Bush peed all over when he started this god-awful program. You understand? Sure you do. You're liberal, you're smart, you're progressive, you're democratic, you're a decent human being, you get it. It's not that hard to read the Fourth Amendment and understand that's the right to privacy. Don't tell the right to life people, but that's the right to privacy right there. Never mind these strict constructionists that say that there's no right to privacy in the United States Constitution. Shh. It's in the Fourth Amendment. Okay. Okay. Let's go to the phones. Ed's with us. Hey, Ed, your head on.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. You?
Sounds like you are. I got a little follow-up on this to what I understood Cheney to say today in the news, and if I'm wrong here, I'm sure you'll tell me, but he indicated that if they had had this procedure of spying on people back before 9/11, that it could have been prevented or might have been prevented.
Yeah, he said that. He said that. I ran screaming around the room, but he said that.
Yeah, but you know what? I guess he took for granted people was going to forget that they did get information on what was coming and threw it in the trash.
Yeah, and they did kind of do that, didn't they?
Yep,
yeah.
And that's the best that I can remember, that they ignored the warnings that was given on this. But
well, they ignored warning after warning after warning about 9/11 and did nothing about it. Simple competence would have stopped 9/11.
Yeah. Well, everything is still tied to terrorism and 9/11, and we might as well get used to it. The one thing that I'm used to, and the only thing that is consistent about George Bush, I'm going to another subject here.
That's okay.
Is he's a liar. And, you know, they come out and said that Clinton was a liar, but they walk so light with Bush and say that he's just not telling the truth, that that's not accurate. Why don't they tell it that, like he is? He's a habitual liar. And you know something, Bob? I run into a guy named Martin from Michigan in the Navy that was a habitual thief, or I forget what the term would be for one of them.
But, kleptomaniac?
Yeah. And anyway, the way I found out and turned him in was I had probably a 8x10 picture of a girl I was dating in a swimsuit pasted on my inside of my locker door, and I left it open one evening while I went and took a shower. Just left it sort of half latched, and I passed his locker in a complete another division. And there her picture was on his locker. And at first I didn't know whether to bust his head with a pipe or, but I figured that something was wrong with people that did that. And that's the same way that I feel about George Bush. I don't believe he can help but lying. Because you look at him, stick that chin out, you can tell when he's not telling it like it is. So, or I can discern the way his actions are.
Yeah, the body language.
Yeah, sticks his head out and he gives that little snotty, arrogant grin.
Well, Sunday night when he gave his speech, he was waving his hands like a Brazilian fan dancer.
Yeah, well, I couldn't stand it. Me and I talked to one of my friends about it on there, and I think he watched it about 10 minutes, and he called me back and said, I can't stand it.
Can't take it no more.
Yeah. But anyway, let me go to something else here.
Sure.
On a strike in New York.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, people, what's his name, Bloomberg at Mayor?
Yeah, Michael Bloomberg.
And get on there and run his daggone mouth on those strikers like he did.
Yeah, call them thugs.
Yeah, and if he would put a little bit more effort in, even the people are taking that for him. You know, what I saw in the news this evening. And if they would put a little bit more effort into helping them and solving their problems rather than just turning their back on them, saying it ain't there and we're and walk off and leave them, they would be a better response from the workers. But when you...
Well, this strike didn't have to happen, Ed. It didn't have to happen.
I know.
No strike,
I feel.
No strike ever does. Every strike that has ever happened in the entire history of the labor movement in the United States has been brought on by the actions of management.
Yeah. Well, somebody said a long time ago, the best union is made by a dirty company.
Yeah.
And I believe that. But they talk, maybe, you know, they say this strike, if Bush could have had to use some influence and use the $400 million on these strikers that he took from the veterans, then it could have cured a lot of the problem.
Well, you know, a lot of the problems that those transportation workers have, well, you know, it's being spent in Iraq.
Well, that's the case with about all of it. And, you know, the cuts we're going through. And, you know, I'm probably ain't one-third as informed as you are about what's going on in this nation with welfare and, aid to the poor in general and the veterans and any other group. And, you know, I guess I harp too much on the veterans. But when I think of 152,000 people coming back here, and the budget that we have right now for the veterans wouldn't even cover them, let alone the rest of the veterans that's involved.
Right. It won't cover their Band-Aids. It won't cover their counseling. Because, you know, if you come back and you never had a scratch on you.
Yeah. Scratches don't always show.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And that's what I, you know, and I see some of them, Bob. And, you know, especially there are not so many of them going through over here at Beckley that I know of, but in Richmond, they tell me, you know, when I'm down there talking to different people, they tell me about them. And they're probably maimed mentally for life.
Well, considering what some of them have been asked to do and asked to look at and just seen, there's no way that you come back without scars.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the nature of soldiery, especially in the non-commissioned levels, is that you do what you are told.
Yeah.
And they have been asked to do things that are horrible, horrific. What happened in Fallujah? We're going to be paying for that for years. You know, American snipers shooting down women and children in the streets of Fallujah,
yeah,
just because they were told that the entire city was a free fire zone and if it moved, kill it.
Yeah. Well, I watched a program that Tom Brokaw had the other night about these seven guys from one. I think maybe they were from Pennsylvania or New York. And I think three of them made it back, and they was, one of the guys was a guitar player, and it took his, part of his fingers, and, I mean, it would make you cry. And to think that they're coming back, and they couldn't even, you know, one of them wanted to go ahead and go to college while he is being rehabilitated.
Mm-hmm.
They denied it. They said he was still an active, reservist, and they wouldn't let him go to college, even though it might take 2 years to get over his physical condition.
Oh, my God.
And, I mean, you'd have had to watch that. It was a, you know, when I see that stuff, I don't feel like our enemy's overseas anymore. It's right here. It's in Washington.
It is right here.
And I am just so downtrodden, or feel like it, and depressed over these boys had come back, you know, 21 and 22 years old, hadn't even had a shot at life yet.
Nope.
And they've been shot down. So
how do you atone for that, Ed? How do you make amends for something like that?
There isn't any. Money don't constitute getting well or be it bringing back to normal or having a normal life.
You know, these godforsaken Republicans are all pro-family. How many marriages do you suppose have been shattered by Georgia's little war?
Well, we know probably out of just sending them boys over there broke up some marriages and some engagements. And if you take 152,000 of them, I'd say half of that has been affected by their lifestyle and, you know, marital status. And
you know, I read a story today that was sent by one of our listeners. There's a unit that came back from that they were based in North Carolina, Ed, and they have come back. 13 of them have profound chronic cases of, and boy, this is one I had to study to learn to say it. They have profound cases of cutaneous leishmaniasis.
My goodness.
And they can't cure it. They can't fix it. And what that means, what's happened is over there near the Iranian border, there's an infestation of a little bitty sand fly. And when it bites you, it injects parasites into your skin, and your skin just erupts in sores that grow and expand and don't heal. What are we going to do for them, Ed?
That's what I'm talking about. It's a wall that you go up that you can't go around or can't go over. I mean, in your mind. And to think that little lying piece of crap can set up there and still say the stuff and do the stuff and even spy on his so-called fellow Americans. And just last year, he made the statement, you're talking about flip-flopping. He says last year that they must go through getting permission or warrants or whatever to spy on anybody. And then now it's okay to do it. I don't know. Now, I may not be informed enough on that, but I never did find I couldn't find out if they ever changed the law to say he could. I just think he took it on himself.
The law's never changed. They're making it up as they go along, Ed. It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. Well, all we need to do is let him go ahead and override the 8-year limits on it and let him, you know, maybe these Republicans can put him back in there again.
Oh, don't even say that.
I'm telling you, I
couldn't stand it, Ed. I couldn't stand it.
I might as well go to Cuba. You know, if that's, but it wouldn't surprise me a bit for him to come up.
Well, I mean, that, you know, so how much of what we pride ourselves on as Americans has this man flushed down the toilet by his actions? You know, we used to say, well, you know, you wouldn't want to live in the Soviet Union. They bug everything. You're always listened to. You're always watched. You're always under surveillance. That's us.
Yeah,
that's us now,
right,
Ed.
There at the door, aren't we?
At the door, we're through it. You know, the bride's over the threshold. That's where we live now. We live in a national security coward state where the American people are deemed a greater threat to national security than anything else going on outside our borders, and it makes me sick.
Yeah. Well, the other thing of it is that bothers me a lot is we couldn't change horses in the middle of the stream. That was their philosophy when he ran the second time. So we're now that his time is up and the war's still on. Wonder where the horse is now.
Long gone. Yeah, and see, I said a couple of nights. Well, what was it? Friday when the story broke. I said, you know, shame on the New York Times, because, you know, this might have been handy to have before the November elections, and it was suggested to me that, well, no, they didn't say they had it before the elections. Well, now it turns out, yeah, they had it before the elections. This story has been out there since before the November elections, but the New York Times, because they're so much smarter than us, Ed, they're better than us, they know what's good for America far more than we do. The New York Times didn't think we needed to know that George Bush was spying on America before the November elections. You know, that could have shifted Ohio, you know, if you can shift the garbage voting regulators, the electronic machines. That could have shifted Ohio. Heck, that could have carried other states beyond Ohio. That could have carried. Do you think a West Virginian is going to take kindly to somebody snooping around him?
No, and the other things that like Social Security and stuff like that he's attacked with all of us, there's no way. I mean, after the people found out, look at the percentages there. That tells you that they would have lost the election.
Well, I think they would have.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Nixon stuff. It is.
It's in the same category. You're dead right on that.
No, I don't know how it's not. Nixon was busted for, well, they took Nixon to the Supreme Court over this.
Mm-hmm.
Nixon went to the Supreme Court and said he could do anything he darn well pleased because he was president, and if he wanted to spy on Americans with the COINTELPRO plan, that he could. And the Supreme Court said, no, you can't.
Yeah. Well, the only way they're going to get him, maybe, somebody said that if he would have oral sex with Condoleezza Rice, maybe they could impeach him.
You know, that's a mental image I just didn't need, Ed. Hey, Ed, thanks so much for your time.
All right,
Bob, I appreciate
it. Thank you for your time.
All right, bye now. Ew, just ooh. You know, with that and that big old David Letterman gap-toothed grin that woman's got? Then I thought I was cringing when I used to look at Monica Lewinsky. Feel like there's bugs on me. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I've been waiting for something to happen for a week or a month or a year. With the blood in the ink of the headlines and the sound of the crowd in my ear. You might ask what it takes to remember when you know that you've seen it before. Where a government lies to a people and a country is drifting to war. And there's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interests run. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again. How the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. You know, it's bad enough having a president who openly breaks the law and brags about it. It's worse when our so-called professional media, who are supposed to watch out for things like corruption and abuse of governmental power, helps cover the president's crimes. To be specific, it turns out that the New York Times, the paper of record, the gray lady of American print journalism, knew for the last 2 years that Mr. Bush was illegally monitoring American citizens, but said nothing about it, because the administration told them that no laws were being broken and that it was a matter of national security. I'm curious, when you get one of these high-salary journalism jobs, do you have to put your brain in storage? You'd think that after having been lied to time and time again by this administration, you'd learn not to take their word on anything. I work in a place where people make about $6 an hour, and even they're not that gullible. But that's the state of the American press these days. No wonder newspaper circulation throughout the country is dropping like a stone. Of course, the Times is still a bastion of professionalism compared to radio or television, which, sad to say, is where most Americans get their news these days. To listen to the assorted blowhard pundits, this is no big deal, and we should worry about, oh, say, the phony war on Christmas. I think it's yet another example of how just having a college education and a high-paying job doesn't mean you have any more active brain cells than the rest of the unwashed masses. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Thanks, Joe. You know, I record those every night. Joe sends them to me, and I always enjoy seeing where Joe's going to take things. Because 9 times out of 10, Joe Vecchio and I, well, you know, we're on the same page. Just about in the same typeface. back to the phones real quick. Jim had a second thought and wanted to share it. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Yeah, really, I was just wanted to say that, you know, I listened to what Ed had to say, and Ed is a man after my own heart. And I'll tell you something, what he says is quite true. I mean, you know, Bob, they're even taking postal employees' retirement funds, and they're playing military benefits with them.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, all sorts of leisure domains are sleight of hand. And you mentioned something that we talked about last year.
Leishmaniasis?
Exactly.
I thought about you when I read the story.
Well, you know, during Desert Storm, the first Gulf War, I have a lot to do with that kind of stuff, and there's only one protocol that's available to treat it, and it's not available in this country. It's in the United Kingdom.
Really?
The British discovered this back when they went into the desert, and it was called Dum-Dum's disease, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this leishmaniasis can only be treated with one type of metal, and that's antimony, which is in the same family of metals in the periodic table as arsenic. As in AZT, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, this is bad stuff.
Well, guess what, Jim?
And not only is it go into the skin, but it also invades the soft tissue and the vital organs.
Yeah, and in its other manifestation, it's just plain deadly.
Yeah, there's no cure for it.
Well, all 13 of the soldiers that were based out of North Carolina, all 13 of them are West Virginians.
These men have this disease.
Yeah.
I saw a guy who weighed about 225 go down to 90 pounds in less than 9 months.
Oh, God.
And I'm not kidding you.
No, I know you're not.
I mean, when this stuff started coming out, I mean, I was getting information from all the different hospitals, from Walter Reed, and then from the people, the Air Force Hospital in Texas, and the people in San Diego, the naval facility there, you know. And they were trying to warn these guys about this stuff and, you know, what we'd be exposed to. You see, those Arabs over there have basically developed some type of immunity to this stuff.
Well, that's possible. Or, you know, maybe this accounts for the long flowing robes. Because, you know how they got this, Jim?
Well, you're talking about sand flies, and you're also talking about the larvae these flies produce. It's in the water.
A brigade medical officer explained, and I'm reading here, most of the victims had played volleyball games in a court set up in sand that was infested with the flies.
Well, yeah, but I mean, another vector is water. Because these sand flies produce larvae.
Sure they do, yeah.
They get into water, and the thing you don't know about it, when you remember back during the first Persian Gulf War when they were boiling people, send bottled water?
Yeah.
Well, when the bottles would run out, the soldiers would fill them from those wells. And we've had a lot of sicknesses come from that. And, you know, I'll tell you something a lot, but like I said, I just wanted to, you know, Ed had a lot of good things to say, and I just wanted to echo what he had to say. And like I say, what he had to say basically illustrates to me that he's the badass in my own heart. He really is.
Well, I know that means a lot to him. And, you know, that's the nice little family quality that this show has generated over the course of time. It's a special privilege for me, too, Jim.
Well, we can agree to disagree, but we can also support each other and realize that we are comrades in arms as far as this thing is concerned. But I mean, you know, these people have no concern and no compassion.
Yeah, support
for bastard, because all they want them to do is just to shrivel up and die.
Well, it's cheaper if they do, Jim. Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But I mean,
and I mean, that's, you know, the Republicans are famous for their cost benefit analysis.
Well, yeah, life is very cheap for them. It doesn't make, you know, it really doesn't make much difference. I mean, you know, honestly and truly, I think the Romans had probably greater compassion for the rowers on their triremes than some of these Republicans do for our soldiers.
Well, I don't doubt you in the least. I think you're absolutely correct.
I mean, they just put them in the same place that Quintus Arius put Ben-Hur in, you know, until Ben-Hur saved his life. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. You know, I was, you know, you're a movie buff, and so am I, Jim. I wanted to run a quote by you, and I've got it written down here, from, because I know you're a fan of Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, yeah.
Are you, that statement that, and I think it's so applicable to the entire Republican Party. I got to thinking about it when John Roberts was being vetted for Chief Justice.
Right.
And he said Dr. Zhivago was his favorite film. There is a line where General Yevgrov...
Is this the first part of the movie when he's talking about what happened in those days?
Well, the line from General Yevgrov and...
played by Sir Alec Guinness.
Right, and he says... Nothing demanded by the party is beneath the dignity of any man. That's the modern Republican Party in a nutshell.
Yeah, and he also made the statement, and people became nameless numbers that were placed on lists that were carelessly mislaid.
Exactly. Yeah, it's that whole speech. Exactly. Jim, good to hear from you, and thanks for the support for our buddy Ed.
Just an endorsement, first endorsement for Mr. Ed.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Nothing demanded by the party is beneath the dignity of any man. I included that in an essay I wrote about the nomination of Johnny Robbs. Over at a website that I frequent quite a bit, I consider them good friends, and drop by any chance. You know, if you need a quick news fix, these guys are Johnny on the spot for finding anything and everything. WD40.com, WBYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and the gang invited me to do a little essaying there during my downtime between the end of the last gig and getting this one up and going. And there's a few essays there that I wrote. Feel free to jump in there. You click on archives and it's there. But I found that quote in regard when he said Dr. Zhivago was his favorite film, and something just went click, because I knew there was, yeah, nothing demanded by the party is beneath the dignity of any man. That is the Republican Party in a nutshell. They will look, they will abrogate the Constitution of the United States for the party. They will screw over victims of hurricanes living in tents for the party. They will destroy the last great unspoiled places in our once great nation for the party. You understand? They'll send boys off and let them come home with parasitic diseases that they knew about and didn't care to treat for the party. Wayne's with us on the phone. Hey, Wayne, you're head on. Hey, man.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Listen, that thing you just read,
mm-hmm.
in order to agree with that, isn't the first thing you have to do is give up your dignity?
How so? What, nothing demanded by the party is beneath the dignity of any man?
Right. I don't know. I mean, aren't they saying that anything we decide to do, you agree to? And
well, in the movie, it's said by a Bolshevik. You know, it's said by someone supporting the communist revolution in Russia. These are the same people.
Yeah, I realize that, but I don't know. Am I misinterpreting the thing?
No, they would sell out their little old maiden grannies.
Right. I mean, that's saying that, yeah, I broke the law, but if you're part of this party, you agree with it.
Right. And that's what's...
You agree with it with dignity.
If you're following the news cycles, you'll find that to be abject truth. You know, it's hard to find a Republican who says that this was problematic. You know, that's about the most... it's problematic.
Well,
it's not problematic. It's treason.
Giving up their dignity.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, they threw that away years ago. They don't even miss it anymore, Wayne.
Oh God, these people are absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing that Ed was talking about too. I saw it on, I don't know what I was watching, CNN or something, and you know, Bush a year ago or something, you know, was guaranteeing everybody that, you know, your civil liberties are protected. Before we do anything like this, we have to get a, not court order.
Yeah, court order for a search warrant.
A court order, right.
Yeah.
The search warrant. And, you know, he threw that out the window. And how anybody could support it.
It was April 20th, 2004 in Buffalo, New York. I've got the sound of it right here.
Okay, very good. But will you play that?
I will play that.
Will you play that?
Hang on. We'll play it right now.
Okay.
Okay, it's the first Bush cut. Now, just a setup, just so people can keep up with you and me. It was more or less campaign trail stuff, and they were talking national security at a place called Kleinschen's Music Hall in Buffalo, New York. And, you know, I just love it when George decides to explain things, because it's like
really great.
It's like getting an explanation from an acid freak. Yeah, Bush on wiretaps, that's it.
Anytime you hear the United States government talking about wiretap, a wiretap requires a court order. Nothing has changed, by the way. When we're talking about chasing down terrorists, we're talking about getting a court order before we do so.
Now, this was all in the context of a discussion of the Patriot Act and everything.
How long ago was it?
That was April 20th, 2004, and his secret spying program had been in place since late September, early October 2001.
Right. So he was lying then.
Yeah, well, the way we need to think about this, do you remember back during the good old days of Bill Clinton when we weren't at war and we had massive peace and prosperity up to our necks? And, you know, you remember that, right?
Yeah, and we had, like, projected budget surpluses.
Right.
All those fantasy things.
Yeah. Well, you remember how the mainstream media, God Almighty, if you turned on the Teletubbies for your children, you saw that endless tape loop of Bill Clinton leaning over to get a peck on the cheek from Monica Lewinsky at the rope line. You remember that one?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you could not turn the TV on without seeing that.
No, you couldn't.
You know, because that was the proof. That was the proof that Bill Clinton was corrupt and was in charge of Whitewater and kidnapped the Lindbergh baby and killed Vince Foster. And
Yeah.
This is that. Every time, if there was any dignity or any sense of balance even in the mainstream media, every time George Bush showed up, showed his little monkey face somewhere, they would play the video of him sitting there saying what we just played. It ain't nothing changed. You still got to get a court order. That's his Monica moment right there.
Except if you don't want to.
Yeah, well, yeah, unless it's a problem.
And that's the thing. I mean, like, if... What is it? What is this one? FISA?
FISA, yeah.
FISA. And, you know, and here's the reason. I forget how many thousands of these things court orders have been issued.
19,000 since 1978.
Have been denied?
Yeah, only five. I heard one place say four, but yeah, four or five out of 19,000.
Out of all those thousands. Well, that's the reason they didn't go there, because they knew theirs would be turned down. That five would go up by thousands.
Well, and see,
and think that these people didn't listen to every conversation that John Kerry's campaign.
Oh.
I mean, that's exactly what they were doing. And that's why they didn't get a court order.
Well, and
try to get one, because they would have been denied.
Group after group after group is coming out and saying, you know, by the way, we got spied on too. But you've also got to take into account, you know, this business about, you know, well, you know, there'll always be a court order. Well, in the New York Times story, if you read far enough into it, Wayne, you read the part where they said, well, you know, we did let the FISA court judge in on it, and he said, well, you know, don't come to me or hope to use this in any prosecutions based on the stuff you're getting. So what you get down to is, you know, this was vital for national security, and yet a judge had looked them square in the eye and said, I will throw any evidence you gather out of court that you get this way. So what the hell good is it, Wayne?
Exactly.
I mean, this tells us that they weren't using this for national security. They were using this for their personal advancement and the expansion of their own sick little vendettas.
And that's, you know, if you study these people and watch what is going on, that's all that matters anyway, is their own well-being. And
we're back to that movie line, nothing demanded by the party is beneath the dignity of any man.
Exactly. Doesn't matter how dishonorable or how illegal or whatever.
Now, this is, who was it?
As long as it advances us, it's okay.
Right. This is Liddy or Coulson or whoever it was holding their hand over the candle flame and swearing they would rub out granny, literally, kill their grandmother for Richard Nixon. This is the same thing. I mean, I was 10 years old maybe watching the Watergate hearings. I feel 10 years old again, and it's not necessarily a good thing.
I wish I was 10 years old when I was watching it, but
well, yeah.
I was 11.
Yeah, okay.
But and another thing, you know, the Democratic Party, and, you know, I hope to speak to some of them about it in January or something, because I'm going to go to this thing where some of these people, they're, you know, send me an email asking me to join in a FOIA request to demand that we get all this information.
Right.
Who did you wiretap? Who did you know? And I'm willing to do that.
I did it today.
Okay. But then they asked me to give up 10 of my friends' emails.
Nah, see, I don't play that way.
I'm not going to do that.
No.
And I said no, and I said submit. And it came back and said, you have to give at least one email. And I got off of there, and I sent them an email. Listen, I'll give you my name, my phone number, my home address, my email address, because I'm ready to fight these creeps to the very end. But I'm not going to commit my friends to it.
You know, I didn't. They must have refined it a little bit, because when I got it, and the website is democrats.org/FOIA, FOIA. They didn't ask me for that.
Okay, mine came from just Democratic Party. Howard Dean, did George break the law, is what the email I got, and then Freedom of Information Act request. And I filled it all out, and I said submit, and then they said, you know, give us some, your friend's emails.
Hmm.
And I just ignored that.
Well, that's overreaching, just plain and simple.
It is overreaching, and I sent him an email. Like I said, I mean, I'm, you know,
well,
I'm
because
ready to commit, but I'm not going to commit my friends.
Well,
that should be up to them.
And what we know now is that total information awareness from Admiral Poindexter, that was the kind of, you know, they were going to monitor your emails, your phone conversations. Man, they were going to look at everything.
Right. Listen, did you ever read the entire letter from Rockefeller?
Yeah, I got it right here in front of me.
Okay. I mean, have you read it on the air? Is what
just the relevant couple of paragraphs.
I mean, he was obviously afraid.
Yeah, well, that's the way I think. I mean, like I said, that reminds me of something out of a Tom Clancy spy thriller, or, you know, Ken Follett, whatever. You know, you don't make a second copy and right. You don't make a second copy and put it in and say, I'm putting it in the secure spaces of the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Right, and you know, if you kill me, this letter's going to right.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you don't do that just because. Well, you know.
Well, and that's why I refuse to do this email thing. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, obviously these people are capable of anything.
Yeah, they are. I mean,
they
look.
They've proven that.
Now, I'm gonna say something here, and people can say, oh, geez, Bob's getting out the tinfoil helmet.
Geez. Okay, right.
A long time ago, I refused to put my phone number on the federal do not call list, you know, for telemarketers.
Right.
I'm still up to my neck in telemarketers. But my wife and I had a conversation when this was all going down, and I said, listen, I am not going to volunteer my phone number on a list for the federal government to have, and then have, you know, some other agency go, well, I wonder what... No. I'm going to make them at least do a little bit of work.
Mr. Kincaid.
Yeah.
Please don't be so naive. You are on every list that those people have.
Well, I know, but I don't, you know, but I don't... It's like the email addresses. I don't have to help.
No, I know, but I mean, it's, you know, it's beyond help now. But you help them 3 hours a night.
Oh, God.
And you have a good time doing it.
No,
Don't be afraid of being on a list, buddy.
Because I are on one, yeah.
Already. I mean, you know, I don't know if the punishment's worse if you're on 1,000 times, you know, or what. But you're on their list, and so am I.
Yeah.
And I just hope they spell my name right.
Well, I heard somebody. That's R E B I C H.
Huh?
R E B I C H.
Yes.
Yeah. Please make a note of it. Yeah.
That's an old Serbian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It means balls or something, right? Yeah.
I always tell people don't be afraid to say bitch, you know.
Yeah. So. Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, God.
All right, buddy.
Take it easy, Wayne.
All right, man.
Later.
Bye.
Really? Seriously? Yes, dear.
Look, the telemarketers call here all the time.
Oh, I know. We're trying
to the station.
No, we're trying to build a listening audience with telemarketers.
And what I tell them? Please keep this number. We're on 7 to 10 Monday through Friday. Give us a call. Am I on the air now? No.
But you will be.
But if you want to be, go ahead and call in. I mean, you know, it's a free country, supposedly. So, you know, go ahead, call in. Telemarketers, whoever you are, just give us a call.
Yeah, sure. Why not? But what Wayne mentioned, I heard an explanation of how this humongous intelligence gathering apparatus supercomputer works. It was Gordon Liddy. It was Gordon Liddy describing it. Whew, man. He shows up on the television, I feel like I got to go take a shower. Yeah, you thought I was going to, didn't you? You thought I... Oh, Agnes, you of little faith. You were reaching for the dump button, weren't you? No, it makes me feel like I have to go take a shower. Shower. He was describing... And his supercomputer is, you know, like trained with some sort of wild voice recognition thing, and, you know, it listens to all these phone conversations, and if it hears the word anthrax... Then it sets off bells and whistles and lights up the file, and somebody has to come listen to somebody talk about going to the anthrax metal concert night before last. So, you know, I think as good Americans, just to defeat this spying system, every conversation you have, periodically, just stop the conversation, let a little silence ensue, like this. Anthrax. And then, you know, and then go on with your conversation, your recipe for fudge, or, you know, why somebody, you know, I can't believe she wore that to work today. You go in. Anthrax.
No, you can't do that.
Oh, yes, we can.
No, you can't do that. Remember back in the 80s when everybody would say, oh, man, that's the bomb.
Do that, too.
Unfortunately, if those words are the words that the supercomputer is seeking out, then when my teenager gets on the phone,
well, no, what blows
for them.
No, but wait, what blows my mind, honey, is, you know, this is Gordon Lee, and he's a national security expert, and, blah, 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 and he's sitting there talking about, but wait. These supercomputers are what? They're listening for words in English, and we're worried about Arab terrorists? What is the Arabic word for anthrax? Of course, I realize I'm probably a little bit naive, but just, you get the point. So, you know, you're cruising along in your phone conversation, and rice and gas. You know, just do that once in a while. We will have these NSA Nazis running crazy. And you know what? If we want our country back, it might be the thing to do. And then the next thing we get is a new version of the Patriot Act, where the entire United States of America is one big airport, you know, because once you step through, you know, some of you are cooks. I'm a bit of a cook. You know what a B-O-M-B-E is, a bomb. It's a dessert, you know. What would happen if you were flying and they said, what do you have there? And you've just baked it, you're proud of it, it's a bomb. You're gone. You're gone. That's where we're headed if we let George Bush, I mean, I'm being a little bit facetious, but if we let George Bush get away with this monstrosity, that is where we go. The entire United States turns into one big airport, and if you do what I was just describing, and you're in your phone conversation, and every so often you go, bioterror, mass destruction, anthrax, rice and gas, sarin. You do that once in a while. If you do that, you will get a visit, and then it'll be illegal to even say those words. That's what I mean when I say that the First Amendment and the Second Amendment are only showpieces if the Fourth Amendment isn't very, very, very real. That's what it's all about. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
McGruff, the crime dog here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride. And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time. Helping me take a fight out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8th, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. Just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home. Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying, you're so scared and all alone. Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Where? Here? There? Yeah, here. I am Bob. Bob, I am. The lovely Agnes at the controls. Oh, what was that great song? Was that Pink Floyd, Set the Controls for the Heart of the Sun? Maybe it wasn't Pink Floyd. Oh, well, once a disc jockey. That's about 4 minutes after the hour, our final hour for this Tuesday night. You heard the phone number. Bob@headonradio.com is the email address. Our friend Peter in Tallahassee writes in and says, I want to thank Ed for using a particular word That word is discern. When referring to George Bush, he said that he could discern when he was lying. I've been giving that word a lot of thought lately as it applies to Christians. One of the gifts of the Spirit is discernment. Of course, when Peter talks about gifts of the Spirit, he's not necessarily talking about, you know, rolling in the street or anything like that. One of the gifts of the Spirit is discernment. The gift of discerning spirits is the ability to determine whether or not a message, person, or event is truly from God. I'd love to hear one of these right-wing fundies explain their faith in the context of discernment. How in the name of everything holy can these people even show their faces after their complete failure in seeing the true nature of George Bush? Those of us with the actual power to discern knew George's real face even before his first term. Yeah, amen, Peter, we did. We did. Buddhists discerned George Bush. Muslims discerned George Bush. Taoists, Jainists, the people from the jungles of South America with religions that don't even have a name discerned George Bush. Because evil is discernible to those who are not evil. And of course, that's one of my little problems that I'm working through. I'm convinced that everybody who voted for George Bush is evil. Or has some seed of evil in them. Kind of like original sin or something. But I get your point. I'm just backing up just a minute. I'm horrified by this business about these 13 West Virginians who were sent back with this cutaneous leishmaniasis. Everything Jim said was absolutely correct, and it's in the text of the article. This is from the News and Observer. NewsObserver.com is where the story is. The headline, Skin Ulcers Plague Men from NC Unit. But you got to get halfway down into the story before you find out that they're West Virginians. But the only treatment was to fly them back to Walter Reed Army Medical Center, which, by the way, we're closing, for up to 3 weeks of intravenous treatments with a drug called Pentostem. And Jim's right, it's not approved for use in the United States, and the Army was able to administer the treatment because it had gotten the drug approved for experimental use. And you can't help but wonder, the side effects? What kind of side effects? We remember the horrors that ensued from the anthrax inoculations that were given our troops during the first Gulf War. That thing destroyed human beings. Oh, it left them alive. But not much. And they were all these individuals were attached to the 30th Heavy Separate Brigade, based in Clinton, North Carolina. These individuals were from a small armor group here in West Virginia. And of course, didn't we have an armor group go over from the Beckley area? See, you get lip service from a Republican of, wow, we support the troops. Bug spray. They support the troops. I support the troops because I would like to not start wars in places where we don't know what we're facing. The disease can be hard to diagnose because few U.S. medical professionals have seen it. Really? How about that? You think it might be handy if you're going to start a war in some godforsaken sandy corner of the world to at least, you know, bone up a little bit on the medical literature? You know, that's just another one of the daggum things we didn't do before we started this because the dear leader was in such a mad, crazy, blind fury rush to go get Saddam. Remember the soundbite from a couple of nights ago? Well, you know, that's the problem. It got leaked out into the press, and Osama bin Laden went to a different payphone. I mean, the war was started in March of 2003, and the man is still eliding Saddam and Osama bin Laden. Oh, God! Oh God. I tell you what, let's shift gears a little bit, because I want to get back to Senator Durbin and what he was saying today, because this sleazy business with the defense appropriations bill. Well, let's let him speak for himself. He called it what it is.
If the state of Alaska decides to sue to have the 50-50 split of ANWR revenues called for in this bill declared illegal, then money this bill seems to promise for Katrina relief and low-income heating energy assistance and many other worthy causes could simply disappear. It's a bait and switch.
It's a bait and switch. Now, unless someone can correct me and tell me that they've actually gone ahead and had the vote, I'm assuming that it's going to go down tomorrow morning. That's what was being said when last I checked in before the show started. This bait and switch will, and there's a little possibility of a miniature nuclear option, because tomorrow is a cloture vote. It's not a vote on the bill itself. It's a vote, unless I am completely mistaken, it is a vote on whether or not to close debate on this issue. And if cloture is not achieved, they are prepared to go nuclear. With a procedural bit of wrangling about points of order and yada yada, and overturn the rights of senators to filibuster this sick, sleazy, oil-sodden deal. But did you get what he was saying? Because the Statehood Act for Alaska, the very enabling legislation that created Alaska as our 49th state, says that they get a 90-10 split with the government for all oil revenues, and yet this Ted Stevens bit of obscenity calls for a 50-50 split. And the lone member of the House of Representatives from Alaska has already said he would expect the governor of Alaska to sue to get the 90-10 split. See how it works? Senator Durbin wasn't kidding. It is a bait and switch. Because all this money that they're promising for Katrina, it's Christmas and there are people in the Gulf Coast region living in tents, living in automobiles still, who cannot and may never be able to return to their homes, and their only hope is being hung on the destruction of one of the last wild places in America? What kind of a sick choice is that to put on to a bunch of people who have already been through hell and back? It's dirty. It's evil. I said evil earlier. This is evil. A little bit more from Senator Durbin.
The big oil companies make their profits. The state of Alaska takes away virtually all the money. And all these other good causes find themselves with little or nothing to show for it. You see, the Alaska Statehood Act already provides that any revenue from Alaska oil sales must be split 90-10. 90% to Alaska, 10% to the federal government.
You get it? This is a con of monstrous proportions. Then this has nothing to do with national security. And everything to do with the bottom line of the CEOs of ExxonMobil and Halliburton and Cheney's little relief checks that he gets. Poor Cheney, he's on relief. You see how this works? You see how they operate? These people, nothing, let's go back to it. Nothing demanded by the party is beneath the dignity of any man. Nothing demanded by the party is beneath the dignity of any man. The party demands that we drill in ANWR so Ted Stevens can make sure, and Ted Stevens therefore will go ahead and hang out the Katrina victims. and the low-income heating energy assistance program, those people can go hang too, because the most important thing to Ted Stevens is what the party wants. Is this the America you were promised? This isn't the America I was promised. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Oh, the engine's gone dead, cried the men who were there, and she passed up the dock on the wide Delaware. Then the ship ran aground and the oil got away, and they did not report the big spill on that day. It was hundreds of thousands of gallons galore, stretching 32 miles down the Delaware shore. There were geese in the marshes out looking for food. They got stuck where they stood in the oncoming crew. Just come on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. In the well-charted waters of the Nantucket Shoals was a ship run aground full of oil, we were told. In a week's worth of rough winter weather and waves, the boat started cracking and it could not be saved. It was 7.6 million gallons. Consider the danger.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Just come on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. Now down in the Gulf, east of Mexico way, there's something gone wrong, so the papers all say. And Mexican oil well is leaking its goo. They say it's the worst that things have ever come to. Yes, it's gallons of sludge, 60 million and more.
Welcome back. sludge?
It's cruising and oozing.
We know a little bit about sludge here in West Virginia.
Yes, things have got bad, but they'll probably get worse.
You know, if an oil tanker goes aground, they at least make a passing attempt, or, you know, a little show of cleaning up the sludge. Here in West Virginia, in the hills and hollers of beautiful Appalachia, the oldest mountains on planet Earth, we just fill up the valleys with it and pray that the dam holds. Charming, isn't it?
You can have it now for free. Just come down to the shoreline
where the water used to be. 20 minutes after the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. A note from our buddy David. A little game. No Googling, no cheating. Who said this and in what context? Today's technology in the hands of this government is as a razor in the hands of a beast. I've got the answer. If you want to play, play. We'll have a look at it a little bit later. Meanwhile, by the way, with all this oil stuff going on, this sleazy... My God, it still amazes me. This is a bill about our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, our Marines, and giving them the support that they need. And as Senator Durbin noted, it used to be the first thing the president signed. Now it's the next to the last because we've got to fool around sleazing it up with an Anwar drilling bill. A note I got in the email today. Even as Senator Stevens continued to inject special interest perks for big oil into Senate legislation to properly fund our military, an Alaska state government agency accused oil companies in Alaska of illegally conspiring to slow the transport of natural gas and artificially drive up already sky-high prices. Nah, they wouldn't do that, would they? According to a report in the Wall Street Journal today, the Alaska Gas Line Port Authority filed a lawsuit accusing BP and our ExxonMobil of illegally conspiring to choke the flow of natural gas out of Alaska and into the lower 48 states to reduce natural gas supplies and increase natural gas prices. Bastards. I hate them. You know, sitting there on my mother's knee, God rest her soul, a little boy, and I'd say, oh, Mommy, I hate it. Son, don't hate. Hating is as destructive to you, and it does nothing to the people you're hating. Don't hate. Mom, wherever you are, sorry. I hate him. Choking off natural gas supplies from Alaska to the lower 48 in order to drive prices up because ExxonMobil isn't rich enough yet. You sit there month by month by month and you make your budget up and, you know, well, okay, we got to get a new set of tires, so, you know, well, we'll cut back on the groceries a little bit. Well, we'll cut back on the groceries and we won't get the new tires because we just got the heating oil bill. Or the natural gas bill, and the cold part of the winter isn't even here yet. Gobblers. Oh. There's a word that goes in front of gobblers, but I can't use it. What do you... I'm just... If you sat down, if you were to sit down and you know, have a sandwich with the CEO of ExxonMobil and ask him, do you, sir, consider yourself my fellow American? Am I as good as you, sir? Am I as human as you are, sir? When I'm deciding that we're going to cut back on, food... So we can pay you, so you can be richer, sir. Am I your fellow American? Am I? course, I'm just fantasizing. That could never happen. But you know what? We're not his fellow Americans. We are ratepayers. We are customers. We are to ExxonMobil. They hold us in less regard than a carny holds a mark. Honest to God, we are. The state's legal action prompted Walter Hickel, a Republican and a former Alaska governor and interior secretary, to say that the suit, quote, reveals a story of extreme corporate greed that has abused Alaska and punished the American consumer. Democratic National Committee Press Secretary Josh Earnest had some choice words for Senator Ted Oil Stevens. He said, holding up critical national defense funding for our men and women in uniform is bad. Holding up critical national defense funding in order to insert a perk for special interests is even worse. Holding up critical national defense funding to get a special perk for energy companies that are conspiring to gouge Americans at the gas pump is the Republican culture of corruption at its worst. The la-di-da. How about that? Really? I don't mean to be pessimistic. But talking about it means nothing. And that's pretty tough coming from a guy who makes his living talking about it. It's the doing something about it part that matters. Are you in a state where you're represented by a Republican senator? Drop him an email or her. And tell that person that you will hair-lip hell wide open to see that that person is not returned to office. Tell them you will walk the shoes off your feet going door to door to tell them what they've done to the troops and what they've done for the oil companies. Not that I'm telling you to do anything. But that's what matters. Have you got a shaky Democrat senator? Tell him to. Have you got a senator that you know is going to stand with the likes of Dick Durbin and oppose this filthiness? Then let them know you support them, and let them know you've got their back when the religion industry gets its marching orders. You remember how it was described in the Senate hearings, what Michael Scanlon said? Whenever corporate America wants something, they send the message out to people like Ralph Reed, and he mobilizes, what were they called? The religious wackos. So tell the senators that are doing the right thing that you appreciate what they're doing and that you've got their back. Talking's fun. Doing is important. America can do better than Republican senators who are playing games with military funding and rewarding oil companies accused of price gouging. Ain't that the truth? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. and I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Really, now if I want to go jumping in on the whole thing about that war on Christmas, but Representative,
you know what? I want to jump into it. I'm going to tell you why I want to jump into it.
Okay, go, Bruce.
That's the biggest load of horse crap I've ever seen in my life, and the reason why. And the reason why it's the biggest load of horse crap is because, you know what? I mean, you know, if there was a war on Christmas, we would hear about it year-round. I mean, this is just crazy.
Hey, everybody, this is John Fox from 4th Estate Radio here. Speaking of Christmas, join us Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for our special festive 4thEstateRadio.com Christmas edition. We'll wrap up the week's events as usual and have a bit of extra fun. Find out all the details at 4thEstateRadio.com. That's 4thEstateRadio.com.
Now, I sort of gave cursory treatment. I ran it during the phone call with Wayne. I want to make sure that sort of, well, I want to give it the Monica Rope line treatment, because that's what this is.
Anytime you hear the United States government talking about wiretap, a wiretap requires a court order. Nothing has changed, by the way. When we're talking about chasing down terrorists, we're talking about getting a court order before we do so.
Can we make it any plainer? Can we have some video of him say that and have some woman kiss him on the cheek, and then CNN will get interested, And then, well, you know, Fox, they'll still be playing the Evernotice. They'll be running the Evernotice How Much George Looks Like Jesus Christ story. But somebody might take notice. Oh, if only there could be a little sex involved with this. And he went on, you know, George, you know, when George screws up, he does it good. And he went on.
There's something called delayed notification warrants.
Uh-huh.
It allows people to collect data before everybody's aware of what's going on. It requires court order. It requires protection under the law. We couldn't use these against terrorists.
But in the context of what he said, with the Patriot Act, now they can. You know, and that part is just so much hooey. That's so much of the smelly stuff that's warm and steamy in the morning. That's what goes down out in the pasture. Because FISA is not limited to drug lords or organized crime. It's drawn in such a way as to give the president as much leverage as he wants. And all it says is, you know, would you mind sending, just send a runner over to the super-duper double-secret probation international espionage security court and tell the secret judge what you want to do, and just like the other 19,000 times, he'll tell you you can do this too. So, nah, George can't be bothered by that. Nah, it's too much for George. And we're finding out more and more exactly what's going on. I got a stack of stories here. Let's see. Where is it? Let's see. Too little space, too much stuff. Pentagon anti-terror investigators labeled gay law school groups a credible threat of terrorism. You get... Oh. Can somebody just sew a patch on the... Tell them to sew a patch on just so we can just finish the transition to Nazi Germany and have done with it. From the Service Members Legal Defense Network, according to recent press reports, Pentagon officials have been spying on what they call suspicious meetings by civilian groups, including student groups opposed to the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell ban on lesbian, gay, and bisexual military personnel. Well, there's that one. Let's see. An organization that represents, allegations of spying were first reported in the media last week. Got another one here. An Ohio group says they were spied on by the government, you know, for being opposed to the war. We've all been spied on. We've all been spied on. And never even knew it. Well, see, that proves it didn't do you any harm, did it? Sure it did. I don't feel secure in my own home. And knowing what we know about George Bush, neither should any other American. Well, I'm going to protect you. Oh, bite me. His job isn't to protect me. My job is to protect my family. His job is not to protect me. He is not the great protector. He's got one job: uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Yeah, I know domestic means inside the United States, but you know what? A group of people that thinks discriminating against gays in the military, that's not a domestic terror threat. Neither are a bunch of Quakers in Florida, like we found out from NBC last week. Just disgusting. Wayne's back with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, buddy.
What's up?
I hate to call back.
That's okay.
But when I called the first time, I forgot to brag about myself.
Oh, okay. Well, daggum.
Yeah, I mean, my God, how did I forget that? I just wanted to, you know, let me see. We haven't reached 1 year yet, have we?
No, that won't be till about half a month
from
now.
The 20th or something?
Yeah, 21st, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I just remember a guy that called up after the election and said, now we get to watch these people self-destruct.
Yeah, I remember that guy. Sounded a lot like you.
Yeah, it did. You know, the guy's really up on his stuff, man. And like I told you, these people excel. And, I mean, they have done an outstanding job, and I want to compliment them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. When you don't halfway screw up, screw up all the way.
I mean, they're good.
No half measures.
And this, the statement from wherever, there's tape, buddy. And I hope it gets played, you know, a million times a day, and it certainly.
Yeah, well, my only point is that he's not getting a kiss from anybody in it. If he was, we'd see it forever.
Oh, he'd really be in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, it's right. Look, it's right on the White House's website. That's where I got it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Whitehouse.gov, and it's there. It's April 20th, 2004, at the Klein Shans Music Hall.
I went to that subversive Buzz Flash.
Well, they are subversive.
You know, those people.
Yeah.
So, and I'll let you go here, but I wanted to thank Brother David for his concern and about sharp objects and stuff in my house.
Yeah.
But, you know, the last few weeks here, I'm slowly bringing them back into the house. I mean, you know, things are looking better.
Yeah.
You know, at least they're in control of their own destiny.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean...
I'd like for them to have a bye week or something, but, you know...
Well, that ain't going to happen.
That ain't going to happen now.
Right. I mean, the best scenario is that they get to be the wild card, and they have to win the next two games, which...
Is there any chance of them playing one game at Heinz Field?
After, you know, when the playoffs start?
Yeah.
I don't believe so. I mean, because even if they make the wild card, they're like sixth seed or something, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They're barely made it.
Yeah, right.
You know, if they make it.
Exactly.
Know? I think, what do they got to play? The Browns and... Oh, and then the Ravens, don't they?
No, they're done with the Ravens this year.
Are they?
Yeah, I forget who they are.
The Browns and somebody. I don't know, but they're capable of losing too.
Well, they've shown us that.
Oh yeah, they can excel.
I wouldn't bring all the sharp objects back into the house.
Oh, no, just a couple of them. You know, I mean, I got to be able to cut meat every night.
Yeah, just enough to carve the turkey Sunday.
All the other ones I put on that. You know that rubber in a can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put all the blades in that. But I do appreciate Brother David's concern. So, anyway, buddy, I'll let you go.
All right, take care, Wayne.
All right, now, bye.
Later. Here, let's play Rope Line. Let's play that one more time there, dear. I mean, it was good enough for Bill Clinton. It ought to be good enough for us.
There's something called delayed notification warrants. It allows people to collect data before everybody's aware of what's going on. It requires court order. It requires protection under the law. We couldn't use these against terrorists.
And this is the Rope Line one. This is the one for the ages.
Anytime you hear the United States government talking about wiretap,
uh-huh.
A wiretap requires a court order. Nothing has changed, by the way. When we're talking about chasing down terrorists, we're talking about getting a court order before we do so.
I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. That's that. But as we go through this, you got to understand, we're going to have to drag the mainstream media kicking and screaming to this story. It was proven last night on CNN on the business guy. Help me. I know. Lou Dobbs. And there was a roundtable discussion that featured Kitty Pilgrim. Yeah, why do I always think of Kurt Vonnegut? Well, because her last name's Pilgrim. And what is she, the great-granddaughter of Billy Pilgrim? I hear Kitty Pilgrim and Pooty Wheat. Kitty Pilgrim and John Fund. John Fund, of course, being a woman beater. No kidding. Who is still allowed to be on television. Thank God he's a Republican. If he was a Democrat, they'd have killed him by now. And CNN senior legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin. Jeffrey Toobin got the ball rolling. He said, I'm talking about Bush, went defending this now controversial NSA policy, but to me, the most interesting part of this NSA controversy that started, Dadgummit, it's not a controversy. This is an outright assault on the Constitution of the United States, but far be it from CNN to say anything like that. Now, the most interesting part of this NSA controversy is that it started is that you have the Democrats for the first time since September 11th attacking the president about national security. They seem to think, and I don't know if they're right, that the issue of protecting individual rights will trump the issue of we're protecting you from terrorism. You know, I hate it when the... Is it necessary for the media to do the White House's job for it? I mean, are there new knee pads in the stockings this Christmas for the likes of Jeffrey Toobin? I've been shocked at how aggressive the Democrats have come out on this. Well, I've been... I don't think it's anything I'd call aggressive, but I've been amazed at the Democrats' willingness to even mention it instead of cowering in a corner and saying, you know, please don't hit me anymore, Carl. I'll be good. I'll shut up. Oh, God. I've been shocked at how aggressive the Democrats have come out on this, because this is an issue that has been right into the president's wheelhouse for a long time now. Yuck. But then, well, John Fund, the woman beater from the Wall Street Journal, gets his 2 cents worth in. And, well, just listen.
We don't know a whole lot about this. We do know that Congress was briefed. We don't know quite how much they were briefed. We know Harry Reid was briefed. Also, during the Clinton administration, there was a program called Echelon, which is the NSA scooping up all of the electronic communications in the country. Whether or not they were monitoring people at that time is a separate issue.
Well, as I live and drink, it was Bill Clinton's fault. Did you catch that? That's the newbie. That's the new talking point. It's Bill Clinton's fault. Well, Bill Clinton did it, too. George Bush can do it. Bill Clinton did it. There's only one problem with that. Being a Republican, what is John Fund doing? He's doing what Republicans do. He's lying. Yes, he is. Because, you see, there's testimony on the record from congressional hearings about the Echelon program. And every time it was used... the Clinton administration went and got a court order. Because, you see, Bill Clinton understood that if they were willing to tar and feather him and have him killed over a consensual sex act, why, they'd just, you know, they'd probably just send Tom DeLay in with a sharp knife in the middle of the night and slit his throat or something like this if he didn't get a court order. God knows they wanted to. So, yeah, the Clinton administration went and got a court order every time. None of this, well, I'm president, I'm just going, it was my idea, and I wondered, is it legal? But you got to understand this, you know, this is the liberal media that they're always complaining about. John Fund saying... Whether or not they were monitoring people at that time is a separate issue. And he went on and he said, I think it's interesting the Democrats are attacking because people do care about civil liberties. I'm interested that they're attacking before all the facts are in. I need, for this one, I need very few facts. Because I've got, where is it? Okay, yeah. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. No warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person who thinks to be seized. Okay, I got that. And no warrants shall issue except upon probable cause. The only fact I need is, George, did you get a warrant? Did you get a court order before you did this? No, didn't need one. It's part of my duties of protecting the American people. Thanks for playing. Here's your lovely parting gift. We'll give you Rice-A-Roni to last you a year, okay? Now, That is all there is to it. Did you get a warrant? You didn't get a warrant? Well, look, you just trounced all, you just stomped and peed all over the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution. It's kind of important. I know you think it's a GD piece of paper, George, but it really does matter to a whole bunch of us. It matters more than watching The Apprentice, George. It matters more than watching the Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire's Nose in the Survivor Loser. It matters, George. The Constitution is the only thing that really matters when it comes right down to the whole part about, you know, we're going to be a nation. You take the Constitution away, we're not the United States anymore, brother. All right? It matters. It's not a GD piece of paper. It is real, for God's sakes. It is really, really real. And then after John Fund and all of this stupidity. No, well, I mentioned, you know, Kitty Pilgrim. She has to get her 2 cents worth in.
And it certainly seems like a clear stand against the president on terror, a fairly risky move, given that any day there could be another attack.
Are you scared? Be afraid any day. Oh, Kitty Pilgrim says that any day there could be another attack. Any day. No, Kitty, honey, baby, lamb, sweetie, don't you remember? Big time Dick Cheney told us that if George got reelected, we wouldn't get attacked. Remember? Do you remember a week before the election, Kitty, darling? When he said the only way we would ever be attacked is if we elected that commie pinko fag, John Kerry, that traitor, that guy with all the shrapnel in his butt from where he was running away when he got shot? Don't you remember when he said that that was the only way we'd ever get attacked? No, Kitty. Oh, it amazes me that they're criticizing the president because we could be attacked any day. 9/11, Kitty. 9/11.
Is her name really Kitty Pilgrim?
Does it matter? That's what she says she is.
I'm just curious, but I have an idea. Okay, since he's taken over our privileges and our privacy, and he's there to protect us, I want to sue him for child support. He's my daddy.
Okay. That'll be fine.
Does that work?
Well, if you were an oil company, you would get it. You know, there are children that need supporting down in old Gulf Coast, living in tents and cars. Doesn't care. Doesn't matter. But Kitty Pilgrim, oh, Kitty Pilgrim, she's all hot and bothered. And it certainly seems like a clear stand against the president on terror. What the hell does that mean? I got me a degree in English and everything. I can ask where the bathroom is in French and Spanish. Oh, it's a clear stand against the president on terror. I don't speak English anymore. It's a clear stand against the president on terror. I mean, my grandmother taught school in the Fayette County school system for something like 60 years. And I loved her dearly, but they started, you know, when I was like still in the cradle, but she started sending like first grade primers down for my mother to teach me how to read before I could sit up, that kind of thing. And by the time I was old enough for her to communicate with me, she started making me diagram sentences. I would rather take a beating than diagram a sentence, but, you know, every now and then you have to, you go back to your roots. And it certainly seems like a clear stand against the president on terror. Is he the president on terror? I thought he was president of the United States. He's the president on terror. Throw mama down the train, throw mama from the train a kiss. Throw daddy down the stairs his hat. Oh, my God. It's a clear stand against the president on terror. What did she do to get that job? I'm sorry, that was sexist. I take it back, ladies. My apologies. Agnes has coffee coming out of her nose again.
I do not.
a fairly risky move, given more than given move, given that any day there could be another attack. I mean, is that now? You know, she's in New York, and I don't think I've had any callers from New York City or anything. Is that how you live your lives? Do you get up every day and say, there could be another attack? I mean, really, honest to God, I guess it's kind of got to be in the back of your mind. Is that why I'm getting the? Is that why I'm getting this shameless the bush licking from Kitty Pilgrim, Pootie Wheat? It's a fairly risky move, given that any day there could be another attack. Like, if there's another attack, it's going to justify. Listen, sister, sugar, if there's another attack, it's going to prove that spying on the American people didn't save us. Damn. Just damn. If there is another attack, it's not going to be a validation of Georgia's spying. It's going to prove that. Listen. Bart Kopp has noted it a million times if he's noted it once. Do you think maybe we might have had a better shot at catching the tourists from September 11th if half of the FBI hadn't been running around dirt roads in Arkansas going, did you ever kiss Bill Clinton anywhere nasty? Do you think we might have had a better chance?